in Luke, and it appears in a little different form. This story pertains to us making sacrifices and giving up material things in order for the Lord to be closer to our hearts and lead us more and more. In the story in Luke, it's the story of the rich man who comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit?" And Jesus says, "Love God, love your neighbor." And he says, "I don't do all those things." And Jesus said, "Then give up everything you own and sell it and get the money to pour." And the man says, "I can't do that. I'm way too wealthy to give up everything I own. And oh my goodness." In Matthew, the telling is different, but the lesson is very similar. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began rebuking him and saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to you." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone wants to be my follower, then let them deny themselves, and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but they lose their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of the Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son coming in his kingdom." May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word. I'm going to clarify that last line right before we get into the heart of things. Jesus says, some will not see death, will not taste death before they see the coming of the Son of Man. Most people interpret that as being the second coming, but I don't think that's what it means. It's not the ultimate coming back of Christ. It very specifically says in the scripture, they will see the coming of the Son of Man in his kingdom. Well, that begins with resurrection. So that's an honest statement. There are many that heard him that day who did not see death, who did not taste death before Jesus was resurrected into new life. And being resurrected into new life made all the difference in the world. Truth is, anybody can die, but not many of us can rise from the dead, except through the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are some people who think they can buy their way into heaven. If I shell out enough money to charitable organizations and churches and fundraisers and stuff, well, my seat will be high in the kingdom of heaven. I have some really bad news if there's anybody here who believes that. It's not true. That's not what's going to get you to heaven. I mean, it's a good thing. Jesus loves the fact that you're a giver and that you're generous. That's a wonderful thing. But that's not what gets you into heaven. Why is it we humans think that we can always buy our way into things? You know, you want a really nice home, so you buy your home. And you sell the home, and you buy a nicer one. And then you sell the home, and you buy a nicer one. And then you sell the home, and you buy a nicer one. And all this time, you've been in debt. Up to your eyeballs. maybe go buy a home, and then when you start having children, I understand, you know, you need a bigger home. So you sell that home, and then you buy a bigger home for you and your children. But why can't we stop there and be happy? I think we're not happy about if it's not bigger, better, newer, faster, stronger. I feel like I'm talking about Superman or Spider-Man or the Black Panther. Oh, I mourn his loss. I do. Jesus talks about in this passage that material things make absolutely no difference to him. You can be poor as a church mouse, that's an old saying, but you know, poor as a church mouse, and God loves you and Jesus loves you just as much as if you're the wealthiest citizen in the county, the state, or the union. God loves you still just as much, because money doesn't have anything to do with it, and material things don't have anything to do with it. It all has to do with the love of God, and it has to do with the return love of you. It's nice to have money, and Jesus doesn't say you're not supposed to have any money, but what he does say is, how are you using it? What are you doing? Are you just making money to make money? Are you making money so that you can help your family or so that you can help others? That's okay. But in the end, when we go to our grave, there are very few of us that will take our money into the cemetery, into the casket. I know there are a few of you who want to take your money with you, but I got bad news for you. That's against the law. At least you can't take cash. And it's not going to do you any good in your casket anyway. It's just going to disintegrate with you. Jesus says in this passage, if you really want to be my disciples, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's not easy. Deny yourself some of your material things. Jesus doesn't say you have to give it all up. You know, in the early church, and actually it still happens today, they had some men and women who would go out into the desert, and they would become hermits. And they were our desert, what we call our desert fathers and mothers. They would just study scripture and write and pray. That's all they did. They never saw another living human. There are days I might want to be a hermit. No. Then there were some people who decided that they were going to dedicate their whole lives to God, and they became monks, or they became nuns, they became priests. They lived in monasteries, or they lived in nunneries, and they were together working for the grace of God and in prayer and meditation, but they set themselves off in some ways from the world. When Jesus said, you must forsake yourself, he didn't mean that all of us needed to live in that way. We really are, the majority of us are called to live in the world, to walk in the world and work in the world and be families and have families and love and live and laugh and, you know, all those things are good. Jesus didn't intend all of us to become monks and nuns. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But that wasn't his intention for everybody. But what he did say was, you can't let your material worth take over. You can't let your material things be more important than God, than me, he says. Now, I have preached this passage and the Luke passage, I don't know how many times. But one of the first times I preached it, you know, early on in ministry, and a couple of you in here I know can relate to this. Early on in ministry, you know, you want to get everything absolutely perfect. And I did all my research and my study, and I still do all my research and my study, but I have accumulated some of that stuff so I can just go back and look at what I already have now, which is great. And I looked for illustrations and all of that, and it came to me that I should ask the congregation, what is the most precious thing you have here on earth? Now, I'm not necessarily talking about a person, okay? I want you to think thing, don't think person for right now. What is the most precious thing to you? For some of you, you'll say your wedding ring. For some of you, you'll say your house. For some of you, you'll say your car. For some of you, I don't know what you'll say. Your picture books, your wedding photo, your wedding dress. I don't know what you'll say. But at the time when I wrote that sermon and I was thinking about that, I had asked myself the same question. Because the second part of the question is, would you give it up for God? If God asked you to give it up, would you do it? It was a rousing success. Except that I had 4 or 5 people afterwards come up to me and say, well, would you give yours up? And I was put on the spot. Early on in ministry, you know you're going to be put on the spot a lot. But my most cherished thing, besides the people in my life, is a camphorwood gentleman's desk chest. It was hand-carved, handmade in China for my grandfather. It has a pull-down desk, and then it has storage area in it. It stands almost 6 feet tall, and when they were bringing it back in the early 1900s, when they were bringing it back, it would not fit into the cargo hold, and so they had to slice the desk chest in half and put the two pieces in the cargo hold, and then when it got to my grandfather, he had to put it back together. Now, little did we know that was a blessing in disguise because it weighs over 600 pounds when it's put together. It's been through at least 40 moves in its lifetime. Lifting 600 pounds 40 times would have killed somebody. I don't know who. I cherish that, but not as a thing. I cherish it because when I would be at my grandparents' house, every night my grandpa would go up to that desk chest and he would sit there and he would do all of his entries of expenditures and things like that for the day. And then he would do his devotions there. And I would be on the floor and watching. That is precious. So that day that I did the sermon and people came up to me afterwards and said, well, what about you? Would you give it up? It took me a few minutes, but then I said, of course I would. If God asked me to give this up, I'll give it up. Because it's not the thing. It's the person and the memory and the holiness. That's why Jesus doesn't want us to get all caught up in things, in possessions, in material worth, because God has something better for us. This week, I want you to look around. Now, maybe some of you already have your answer, but this week, I want you to look around, and I want you to decide what is your most precious possession. And then I want you to decide, if God asks you, would you give it up? Would you be willing to give it up for God? Let me give you just a little secret here. God's not going to ask you to give it up, in all likelihood. But, as Christians, we need to be willing and able. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most cherished possessions, the most beautiful things in the world, that are things, are not as important, anywhere near as important as you and your love. The most beautiful things in the world are in the world. They're the blue sky and beautiful clouds, rainbows and butterflies, baby birds and puppies. They're the loves of our lives looking into our eyes. They're infants and 5-year-olds who are dedicated to you. They are you. Let us not get caught up in the things of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is He Lives. We're going to sing the first verse. I really want to ask you, is the most precious possession you have yourself? Will you give yourself to God? If so, please come forward as we stand and sing.